always enjoying his personal abode. Not only is he beyond, but his pure devotees are also beyond this world, as free as he is, enjoying with him in the spiritual world. So the connection I see with the Yogeshwara's prayers is that in the previous prayer, the Yogeshwara's were glorifying the Lord in relationship with his devotees, how he's Bhaktivatsala. And this prayer, glorifying how the Lord is transcendental, and his devotees also are as transcendental as he is, enjoying with him in his personal abode. So in the purport, in the middle, Srila Prabhupada explains that both the Lord, both the internal and external potencies, are under the control of the Supreme. So he does not come under the control of either of these potencies. Rather, everything is under his control. So he's so powerful, everything is connected to him, but at the same time, he's beyond it. He's in this world, but not of this world. We say that sometimes about the devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, that he was in this world, but he was not of this world. So Krishna also, everything's connected to him, but still he's beyond it. Matter has nothing to do with him at all. Yet still he's standing right in front of them. So how is this possible? So verse 40, personified Vedas pray. Namaste shitta sattvaya dharmadinam chasutaye nirguna chayat kashtam naham veda pare vichar. The personified Vedas said, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Lord, the shelter of the quality of goodness, and therefore the source of all religion, austerity, and penance. For you are transcendental to all material qualities, and no one knows you or your actual situation. So the personified Vedas, representing those in the mode of goodness, and the Lord Vishnu, in the mode of goodness, he's the shelter of the mode of goodness, the source of religion and penance. So the Yogeshwaras, appreciating how the Lord, although he creates, he's of this world, he's beyond. So Lord Vishnu, although he's nirguna, he's transcendental, he's nevertheless in charge of the mode of goodness. He takes that service in this material world. Although he's beyond this world, still he takes care of the mode of goodness. So this is being appreciated by the personified Vedas. And not only does he take charge of the mode of goodness, he takes charge of all the activities of goodness, like religion, austerity. But even though Lord Vishnu is in charge, those who are in the mode of goodness, like the personified Vedas, they cannot understand how he's transcendental. It's very difficult to understand the Lord's transcendental nature from the Vedas. Very, very difficult to find Krishna in the Vedas. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the positive transcendental qualitative manifestation is unknown to the students of the Vedas, as well as to the great stalwart demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Actually, the transcendental qualities are manifested only to the devotees. As confirmed Bhagavad Gita, simply by discharging devotional service, one can understand the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. So where in Bhagavad Gita does it say this? Bhaktyaham bhaktya mam abhijanati. Tito mam tapato gyava vishte taranantaram. That is 1855. Those who are in the mode of goodness can partially enter into the transcendental understanding, but it is advised in Bhagavad Gita that one has to surpass this. The Vedic principles are based on the three qualities of the material modes. One has to transcend the three qualities, and then one can be situated in pure and simple spiritual life. No, pure and simple. The mode of goodness is complex. It's part of this world. It's mixed with the material world, so it's complicated. But when you come to spiritual life, then a simplicity of heart will come. Purity and simplicity. So this is being explained by Srila Prabhupada here in this purport. Verse 41, Agni speaks, Fire God said, My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offerings, according to the Ayurveda, are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of Vedic hymns. Sacrifice means your supreme personality of Godhead. So Agni, he's representing the Lord's tejas, or luminous quality, brilliance. And he's accepting offerings and sacrifice on the Lord's behalf. So previously personified Vedas were glorifying the Lord, who is the shelter of the activities of the mode of goodness. And one of the activities in the mode of goodness that persons in the mode of goodness do is worship the Lord by offering oblations to Agni and sacrifice. This is actually an activity that is performed by those in the mode of goodness, sacrifice to please the Lord. Of course, in this age, Srila Prabhupada will mention in the purport that sacrifice means Sankirtan Yajna before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those who are in the mode of goodness at this time, Kali Yuga, they must perform Sankirtan Yajna. And this is explained in purport, in the middle of the purport, or towards the end. Srila Prabhupada says, It is said in the Vishnu Purana that by offering sacrifice to Vishnu, one can gradually be liberated. The whole target of life, therefore, is to please Lord Vishnu. That is yajna. Any person who is in Krishna consciousness has dedicated his life for the satisfaction of Krishna, the origin of all Vishnu forms. And by offering worship and prasad daily, he becomes the best performer of yajna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this age of Kali, the only successful performance of yajna or sacrifice is yajna sankirtana prayag. Best type of sacrifice is simply to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This yajna is offered before the form of Lord Chaitanya, as other yajnas are offered before the form of Lord Vishnu. So Srila Prabhupada is always bringing it back to the modern age. How does this apply? How do all these prayers and sacrificial arena, how does this apply to us? Do we have to go and get expensive ingredients and perform Agni Yajna? No, not necessary. How many times has Prabhupada stressed this in these purports? These recommendations are found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Moreover, this Yajna performance confirms that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishnu himself. As Lord Vishnu appeared at the Daksha Yajna long, long ago, Lord Chaitanya has appeared in this age to accept our Sankirtan Yajna. And, yes? Kija. He has appeared in Mayapur Dham as Panchatattva to accept our Sankirtan Yajna. So this is the purport by Srila Prabhupada that again and again he's repeating it 10, 20 times in these purports, so that we don't get enthusiastic about performing fire yajnas and in imitation of the demigods and sages. Verse 42. The demigod said, Dear Lord, formerly when there was a devastation, you conserved all the different energies of material manifestation. At that time, all the inhabitants of the higher planets represented by such liberated souls as Sanaka were meditating on you by philosophical speculation. You are therefore the original person and you rest in the water of devastation on the bed of the Shesha snake. Now today, you are visible to us who are all your servants. Please give us protection. So the demigods are glorifying the fact that the Lord exists even after the devastation, resting on Lord Shesha. And now, We are your servants. Now you are here. You are always existing. Please protect us. So, the previous verse, Agni, was representing fire sacrifice. And these sages, the demigods, they say, we were performing this fire sacrifice, but it was devastated. So, as you protect your servants, even after devastation, so please protect us after devastation of this sacrifice. The sacrifice has been devastated. And just like you exist after devastation, now you're here right in front of us, so certainly you can protect us from the devastation of this fire sacrifice here. End of purport. This material world is so created that one has to act sinfully, knowingly or unknowingly. And unless his life is dedicated to Vishnu, he has to suffer all the reactions of sinful activities. This is for Brajabihari. He's not here. He wants to know about all these things. But one who surrenders and dedicates his life for the service of the Lord has direct protection from the Lord. He has no fear of suffering from sinful activities, nor does he desire willingly or unwillingly to do anything which is sinful. So Srila Prabhupada says we are protected from knowing or unknowingly committing sins. I'm not. He says anyway we're protected. He doesn't say knowingly or unknowingly, but he said this world is like that, that sometimes we commit sins knowing or unknowingly. And unless we're dedicated to Krishna, we don't get protection from this. So verse 43, Gandhara said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Marichi, and the great sages, are all only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the supreme, almighty great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the supreme personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So the Gandharvas, they are explaining how, how the demigods are parts of the Lord, who is the supreme controller. So after devastation, what comes next after devastation? Creation. So creation. So what they're asking for after devastation comes creation, and the universal form comes as part of the creation. And in the universal form, we have all the demigods who are your parts. So therefore, please, we create this sacrifice after the devastation. Now, after devastation, there should be creation. So recreate, please, again, recreate this sacrifice for us. Since these demigods are just your parts, your servants, and the creation is just a plaything for you, please recreate the sacrifice as it was before. So near the end of purport, Srila Prabhupada also gives us another angle of vision. Everyone is created constitutionally for serving Krishna. Here, the Gandharvas acknowledge that although the demigods may represent themselves as the supreme, actually, they are not supreme. Real supremacy belongs to Krishna. Next verse 44, Vidyadhara said, Dear Lord, this human form of body is meant for attaining the highest perfectional objective, but impelled by external energy, the living entity misidentifies himself with his body and with the material energy, and therefore, influenced by Maya, he wants to become happy by material enjoyment. He is misled and always attracted by temporary illusory happiness. But your transcendental activities are so powerful that if one engages in hearing and chanting of such topics, he can be delivered from illusion. So, after creation, the first thing after creation is what? First creation. The first creation. Yeah, in Visarga. Yeah. After we have Sarga, then the first thing in Visarga, what happens? Yes, Tamas. Illusion. Illusion. So here they're talking about, okay, you've created, and but everybody, we're all an illusion here. We're thinking we're this body. So this is a problem. Now we've got creation, but we're illusion by your creation. So they're saying that human form of life is meant for liberation from the Lord's illusory creation by chanting and hearing of his activities. So although you create the illusion of this material world, the way out is also given by you. You give us this human form of life where we can become free by chanting and hearing of your activities. So in the middle of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita is the instruction given by Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the book containing topics exclusively about Krishna and his devotees. These two books are the special nectar of the words of Krishna. For those who engage in the preaching of these two Vedic literatures, it is very easy to get out of the illusory, conditional life imposed upon us by Maya. So here is the way out. Preaching application, right? Too many meetings we've been having lately. So, yeah, no, it's true. Preaching application. The way out. Personal application. Yes, personal application is to become a preacher of this verse. The personal application of this purport of verse 44. Now, what is the illusion? As Prabhupada explains in this purport. Or as you can explain yourself. But if you can say what's in the purport, then I'll give you 2 stars. Yeah? Amarvanpur? Avaranatmika Shakti. Okay? Any condition of life. Right. So the illusion is Krishna's special Shakti called Avaranatmika Shakti, and this keeps us happy in the material world, thinking, oh yes, I am a pig, stool is very good. Very nice to eat stool. Yes? Right. Exactly. Yes, that's what Prabhupada says. More interested in the body. Sankirtan? Thank you. Okay. So first he says, everyone's satisfied by any condition, but then actually that's all right. But then he says, the human form is a chance to understand. Human form. And if one misses this opportunity, he is most unfortunate. Anyone remain?
So what would one be silent to change?
Wow, where is that? Anyone may remain in his position.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, whereby Lord Chaitanya advocated a process whereby everyone may remain in his present position without change, but simply here. Yes. Well, he's talking about position. Position. You don't change your position. Yeah. Yes, Madhavan Puri. Yeah, I'm coming. Oh, it says. Okay. Right. Well, what I got from this purport was that he was paraphrasing Stane Stita Shutikatam Tanuvam Manopir, Lord Brahma's prayer. Yeah. So we'll read the purport. Right. So let's read this purport, because I think all the answers are here. Right after that sentence, read the sentence. The way to get out of illusory maya is to engage in the topics of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advocated a process whereby everyone may remain in his present position without change, but simply hear from the proper authoritative sources about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised everyone to spread the word of Krishna. He advised all of you, become spiritual masters. Your duty is simply to talk to whomever you meet of Krishna or of the instructions given by Krishna. That verse, Jari Dako Tarikoho Krishna Pradesh. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is operating for this purpose. We do not ask anyone to first change his position and then come to us. It means leave your house, leave your family, leave your job, and come join the temple. Instead, we invite everyone to come with us and simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because we know that if one simply chants and hears the topics of Krishna, one's life will change. He will see a new light and his life will be successful. So in one sense we don't change, in another sense we change. We don't change externals, we change the internals. Is that what you're going to say? Not artificial change, right. So I'd like to point out in this purport, the Maha Mantra is there twice. So Prabhupada is again and again giving us Maha Mantra here for good reason, because we always forget Krishna. And it's the only way. What is that? Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nishteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Only way is chanting the holy name. Verse 45. The Brahmins are going to begin and they will give three prayers here in conclusion. The Brahmin said, Dear Lord, you are a sacrifice personified. You are the offering of clarified butter. You are the fire. You are the chanting of the Vedic hymns by which the sacrifice is conducted. You are the fuel. You are the flame. You are the kusha grass and you are the sacrificial pots. You are the priests who perform the yajna. You are the demigods headed by Indra. And you are the sacrificial animal. Everything that is sacrificed is you or your energy. So they are summarizing all of the prayers that you are all these things, bringing it back to the topic of the present sacrifice, which has been devastated. So the Brahmanas, your personified sacrifice, everything that is sacrificed is you or your energy. And we heard about the sacrifice of the human form of life is meant for performing sacrifice in the last verse. And also the way, the means of liberation is by chanting and hearing of the activities of the Lord. So one of the pastimes of the Lord is sacrifice, that he's the sacrifice personified, he's the offering, he's all these things. I mean, that is 424, exactly. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnyo Brahmanahutam. This is an expansion of Bhagavad Gita verse 424. So you are a sacrifice. So this is one of your pastimes because you are sacrifice personified. And also the way out is by sacrifice, as we heard in the previous verse. So Prabhupada in the purport says something interesting. Six lines down. Again we have the Maha Mantra. I think Prabhupada was chanting while he was writing here. Chanting the Maha Mantra while he was writing these purports. Again it's coming in the purport of 45. So that's very nice. Six lines down. It is confirmed herein, oh, maybe there's more than six, that the performance of Sankirtan Yajna in this age is as good as all other yajnas in all other ages. So my question is, how is it confirmed here that Sankirtan Yajna is as good as all other sacrifices? He says, here it is confirmed. How is it confirmed? Yeah. Tvam mantra, acha. Tvam hi mantra, second line. So you're the mantra. So that's how it's confirmed. One way. Of all yajnas, I am japa. Of sacrifice, I am japa. Chanting holy names. But yes, that's very good. Tvam hi mantra. You are mantra. You are the mantra. Which mantra? Prabhupada tells us in the purport. If one performs in Kirtan Yajna, by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no need to arrange elaborate paraphernalia for the prescribed sacrificial ceremonies recommended in the Vedas. In the chant of the holy names, Hare and Krishna, Hare means the energy of Krishna, and Krishna is the Vishnu Tattva. Combined together, they are everything. Everything. Hare Krishna. And Rama is everything in this world. I experienced that. In this age, persons are harassed by the influence of Kali Yuga and cannot arrange for all the requisite paraphernalia for performing sacrifice as recommended in the Vedas. But if one simply chants Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is performing all kinds of yajna because there is nothing within our vision except Hare, the energy of the Lord, and Krishna. So Prabhupada is explaining why it is confirmed herein, because Hare Krishna, there's nothing else except Krishna and Hare and Rama. And that's the essence of all yajna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that in one of his songs, Udila Aruna, at the end of his song. It says, Krishna nam sudha kariya pang juraya bhakati vinoda pran navina kichu nahi kohara chara bhupanamache. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds, and it has filled the soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then, continuing in the purport. So Prabhupada here, now he is coming right out and saying, the holy name is everything. This is it. This is the yajna. It's the holy name. Don't worry about anything else. So now we'll continue in the purport at the end. There is no difference between Krishna and his energies. Thus, since everything is a manifestation of his energy, it is to be understood that everything is Krishna. So here's another explanation of how it's confirmed here that the chanting of Hare Krishna is the sacrifice. Because everything is this energy of Krishna, everything is Krishna. No difference between Krishna and his name and his energies. One simply has to accept everything in Krishna consciousness, and he is a liberated person. So how do we do that? How do we be a liberated person? How do we accept everything? Krishna consciousness, Sankirtan.
I see something and I can perceive this is for my enjoyment.
Right.
If I see the same thing and realize this is for Krishna's enjoyment and I act upon that, then I...
Okay, you see something that could be for your enjoyment, but instead you use it for Krishna's enjoyment. Yes. And that's why we're here. We see this whole world is for our enjoyment. That's what we see with our materialistic vision. Mavinda Puripu. Right. If we understand achintya beta beta tattva, and we keep this angle of vision, then we can be liberated. So here Prabhupada says, one should not misunderstand that because everything is Krishna, Krishna has no personal identity. Krishna is so full that in spite of keeping himself separate from everything by his energy, he is everything. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter. Maya tatam idam saram jagadavyaktamurtina. He is spread throughout the creation as everything, but still he is not everything. The philosophy recommended by Lord Chaitanya is that he is simultaneously one and different. Verse 46, the Brahmins are continuing, Dear Lord, O personified Vedic knowledge, in the past millennium, long, long ago, when you appeared as the great boar incarnation, you picked up the world from the water as an elephant picks up a lotus flower from a lake. When you vibrated transcendental sound in that gigantic form of a boar, the sound was accepted as a sacrificial hymn. And great sages like Sanak meditated upon it and offered prayers for your glorification. So again, sound is coming up, but what I saw, the connection here, as Lord Boar, of course, Lord Boar is personified sacrifice, point number one. And point number two, his roar was a sacrificial hymn, which the sages responded to with prayers. And there's another hint here in this mentioning of Lord Boar. As Lord Boar, in your form of sacrifice, you rescue the earth from the water of devastation. Hint, hint. Also, rescue our sacrifice from devastation. But there will be also a connection here with transcendental sound, again with the next verse. So you'll see the original sound, of course, is the sound of the Lord's voice when he roars. So then again, there's a beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada about deity worship. Verse 46. A significant word used in this verse is chai gatra, which means the transcendental form of the Lord is the Vedas. Anyone who engages in the worship of the deity or the form of the Lord in the temple is understood to be studying all the Vedas 24 hours a day. So if you're tired of your studies, you can just go do deity worship and you'll get the same result. Just decorate the deity nicely. Why is that? Yasudevi parabhaktir yata devi tata guru. If you have firm faith in the Lord and devotee, all the purports are revealed to you. Here Prabhupada says, simply by decorating the deities of the Lord, Radha and Krishna, in the temple, one very minutely studies the injunctions of the Vedas. So just be pujari. No need to work so hard in bhakti vaibhav, of course. Everybody should do deity worship and then you'll understand what you're studying. In other words, even, now here Prabhupada goes further, even a neophyte devotee, that's us, who simply engages in the worship of the deity, is understood to be in direct touch with the purport of Vedic knowledge. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaisya Savarham Eva Vedya, the purport of the Vedas is to understand him, Krishna. One who worships and serves Krishna directly has understood the truths of the Vedas. So Prabhupada has given us these opportunities to worship the deity and be in direct touch with Krishna always. So when Lord Bhor appeared, he roared very loudly. And the residents of the higher planets, the great sages, they understood, they replied with the Vedic hymns. So here it says that your roar is a sacrificial hymn. And when he said, when the Lord Bhor said his sacrificial hymn, then the Brahmanas replied with their Vedic hymns at the same time. They were having a conversation, actually, between the Lord and the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, when they prayed to him, they explained how his personified sacrifice, personified Vedas. This is 3, 13, 34. Chitam chitam te chitayakya bhavana tvayim tanam sam paritun vate nama yadvam makate shuniriyoyatayas tasmai namakarana sukarayate. All the sages uttered with great respect, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar. Your form is worshipable by performance of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass, in your eyes is the clarified butter, and in your four legs are the four kinds of fruit and activities. So just imagine, the form of boar is a form of personified sacrifice. And this is also being appreciated by the Brahmanas here. So the conclusion, verse 47, Dear Lord, we were awaiting your audience because we have been unable to perform the yajnas according to the Vedic rituals. We pray unto you, therefore, to be pleased with us simply by chanting your holy name. One can surpass all obstacles. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you in your presence. So Prabhupada couldn't wait. He had to tell us the conclusion before we got there. In the purports before, chant the holy name. This is it. This is the essence. Chanting the holy name will remove all obstacles. And they already purified the sacrificial arena by chanting holy names. So here again, they're glorifying the holy names. And they're saying, even by chanting your holy name, you can remove all obstacles. But now you are here, directly in front of us. So certainly, all obstacles can be removed. So the last verse, Lord Bhor was glorified. And here they are saying, your name alone can destroy all obstacles. Now you have personally appeared before us. So just as you saved the earth in your incarnation as Lord Bor, please save us now so we may complete this sacrifice. So they're begging for his mercy so they can conclude the sacrifice. Purport in the beginning, Prabhupada says, the Brahmana priests were very hopeful that their sacrifice would be carried out without obstacles now that Lord Vishnu was present. It is significant in this verse that the Brahmanas say, simply by chanting your holy name, we can surpass the obstacles, but now you are personally present. So there's a verse we learned last year that sounded very like that. Yanama, is that Yanama Deya? Yanama Deya, Ranukirtanam, Bhavanadhyat Smaranam Api Kashe. Then what? Sharopi Sadhya Savanaya Kapite, Kutapuraste Bhagavan Darshana. So that we learn to say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Lord face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifice if he once utters the holy name of the Lord. So verse 48, Shri Maitreya said, now the prayers are concluded, we're going to another phase. We're going to complete the sacrifice here. After Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, arranged to begin again the yajna, which had been devastated by the followers of Lord Shiva. 49, Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura, Lord Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. Yet, because of his being the supersoul of all living entities, he was satisfied simply with his share of the sacrificial offerings. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. So why was he satisfied with his share? He should get everything. He's Vishnu. Shouldn't he? Yes. Right. Yes, as Paramatma he was accepting in everyone's heart. That's a good reason. He does not encroach on others. Although everything is his, he does not encroach. That should make you feel good. Yes. Yes, he's happy. He's happy to accept whatever we get. He doesn't need it. He's got it already. He has, the demigods need it, but Lord Vishnu doesn't. It's a good point. Yes, indirectly, I think Prabhupada says that, doesn't he? Right, Prabhupada says, indirectly he indicated he was not satisfied with Daksha's trying to deny Lord Shiva his share. Okay, so here Prabhupada says, Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless because Vidura was a pure Vaishnava and never committed any offense to any demigod. Although Vaishnavas accept Lord Vishnu as a supreme, they are not prone to offend demigods. They give the demigods proper respect. Vaishnavas accept Lord Shiva as the best Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, there is no possibility of offending any demigods. And the demigods are also pleased with the Vaishnava because they are faultless devotees of Lord Vishnu. So this is very important that we don't offend the demigods. Don't offend them. Although we don't worship them necessarily, we don't offend them also. Sometimes a devotee gets fired up preaching, and in his preaching he may offend the demigods in his enthusiasm. So we have to be careful. Prabhupada is warning us here. Vaishnavas do not offend demigods. We have to be very careful. Verse 50. Vishnu replies, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Aham Brahma Chasarvascha Jagata Karanam Paramatmeshara Upadishta Sayam Jiga Visheshana. Verse 50. Lord Vishnu replied, Brahma, Lord Shiva, and I are the supreme cause of the material manifestation. I am the supersoul, the self-sufficient witness. But impersonally, there is no difference between Brahma, Lord Shiva, and me. So, how is there no difference? What's the non-difference here? How are they not different? We know how they're different. Yes. Yes, yes. That's what Prabhupada says at the end of the purport. Yes. Everything is generated from Lord Vishnu. Everything is maintained by him. And everything is annihilated by his energy. Therefore, by their actions and reactions, the energies which come from him create the cosmic manifestations and also dissolve the whole creation. Thus, the Lord is the cause and also the effect. Whatever effect we see is interaction of his energy. And because the energy is generated from him, he is both cause and effect. Simultaneously, everything is different and the same. It is said that everything is Brahman, sarvam kalvidam Brahma. In the highest vision, nothing is beyond Brahman. And therefore, Lord Rama and Lord Shiva are certainly non-different from him. So here's in this verse, the Lord is destroying the misconception one can worship him at the same time neglect the demigods. So Daksha had, this was a misconception that Daksha had. So what caused Daksha's misconception of worshipping Vishnu, neglecting the demigods? In one sentence. Yes. Everything is Brahman. So that's one, yes. That's what Prabhupada said. He's seeing separated. What is that in Sanskrit? Pritak, Vinadrik. Pritak Drishas. Pritak Drishas. Pritak Bhava. Separatist vision. So this is a, which mode of devotional service in which mode? Ignorance. Kanishta. Ignorance. So this is the mode of, this was the mode of Daksha's worship. Now he has had a change of heart and he has been promoted in his devotion. He has understood that Lord Shiva is also worthy of worship as the greatest Vaishnava. Verse 51, the Lord continued, "My dear Daksha Dvija, I am the original personality of Godhead, but in order to create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation, I act through my material energy, and according to the different grades of activity, my representations are differently named." So he's saying that actually it's me acting through Brahma and Shiva to create and destroy. They are just my instrument. They are my representations. They are just my representations. They are not independent. Of course, that is the next verse. Verse 52, we have to be freed from misconception. This will be explained in verse 52, second misconception. The Lord continued, "One who is not in proper knowledge thinks that demigods like Brahma and Shiva are independent, or he even thinks the living entities are independent." So this is verse 52. Misconception number two, thinking the demigods are independent. So there's two, thinking they're the same, thinking that they're independent, thinking that they're greater. All these misconceptions are being removed in this pastime of Daksha. Verse 53, this is a very nice verse. "A person with average intelligence does not think the head and other parts of the body to be separate. Similarly, my devotee does not differentiate Vishnu, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, from anything or any living entity." So which platform of vision, devotional service, can you say this is? Is it Uttama? Uttama vision? Okay. Uttama vision. Now, but in the purport, Prabhupada explains how this vision is manifested on the Madhyama platform. So although it's being expressed that they have this realization that the Lord is all-pervading within all living entities, if you want to act on that realization, then you act on the Madhyama platform. We'll see in the purport. "Whenever there is a disease in any part of the body, the whole body takes care of the ailing part. Similarly, a devotee's oneness is manifested in his compassion for all conditioned souls." So this is how a devotee's oneness with the Lord is manifested. If you're thinking, yes, it's just me and Krishna, so okay, if it's you and Krishna, if you're actually one, how will you behave in this world? If you're actually one with Krishna, if you're one with the desire of Krishna, what will be your behavior in this world? No, I'm not asking, I'm just saying. This is the purport here. Bhagavad Gita says, Pandita Samadarshina. Those who are learned see everyone's conditional life equally. That's very hard to see everyone's conditional life equally. Devotees are compassionate to every conditioned soul. Therefore, they are known as aparakya bhuti. Because devotees are learned and know that every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, they preach Krishna consciousness to everyone so that everyone may be happy. If a particular part of the body is diseased, the whole attention of the body goes to that part. Similarly, devotees care for any person who is forgetful of Krishna and therefore immaterial consciousness. The equal vision of the devotee is that he works to get all living entities back home, back to Godhead. So this is all through Gita. How does Pandita Samadarshina manifest? So this was Prabhupada's example. He was equal. Sometimes people in India would criticize, why are you taking this Hindu culture to the Christian people? And Prabhupada said, this is Krishna. Krishna is not Hindu. Just like the sun is not Hindu. If the sun appears in India, it doesn't mean he becomes Hindu. If the sun appears in the West, doesn't mean he becomes Christian. The sun is the sun. So Krishna is God. So Prabhupada's equal vision was to take Krishna and deliver him, distribute him all over the world. This is the equal vision of the devotee. So this verse is very, very beautiful analogy to remember that if one part of your body is diseased, immediately your whole attention goes to that part. So if you see a disease in the world today, in the society, then all the attention goes to that disease of those who actually are well. Those who are well, they give attention to the disease part. So this is beautiful purport and beautiful verse to remember. And it's a wonderful preaching application. So now I would like to ask you, since we're at the end of these prayers here, how, and it's describing how everything is manifestation of Krishna's energy. Then we've heard many different types of beings offer prayers to the Lord here. And all of them are manifestations of the Lord's energy. So I just want to ask you one by one. I'll give the personality or persons, and you can tell me how they, what manifestation of the Lord's energy they are. And I'll start with Lord Shiva. Which manifestation of the Lord's energy? We'll go around. Adi Purush? Fasigo. Anything else? Yes. Shiva Tattva? He's his own Tattva. Yes. What's that? Compassion? Yes. Yes. Renunciation? Yes.
All auspiciousness.
All auspiciousness. Anything else? Adi Purush? His glance, okay, yes. He's a manifestation of the Lord's glance. I would never have thought of that one. That's a really good one. He's a manifestation of the Lord's glance, yes? Yes, that's the one I thought of. Yunavatar, or mode of ignorance. He's a manifestation of mode of ignorance. Okay, so Bhrigu Muni, how is he a manifestation of the Lord's energy? Yes? He's a Brahmin. Brahminical. Satvagun? Yes. Okay. Great sage. Brahma? What?
Grandson.
Okay, he's all right. He's grandson of Krishna, Vishnu. Okay, Brahma? What? Knowledge? Could say that. Yes. Intelligence? Yes. Mode of passion? Obviously. Yes, also intelligence. Also, okay. Indra? Power, which?
Brahma
is Kriya Shakti. Kriya, okay, back on Brahma. Indra, power, yes. Arms of the Lord. Arms, power of protection. Sages.
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness.
Sacrifice.
Knowledge. knowledge, sacrifice, siddhas.
Mystic power.
Pure devotee, mystic powers, pure devotees.
Satellite
prana of Brahmaloka. Oh, you learned something. Okay, Lokapalas. Lokapalas.
They are?
Pashandis. I wouldn't go that far. don't make aparad.
Ignorance.
Not ignorance. Okay, jivas under the... But how are they manifestations of the Lord's energy? I mean, everyone in the whole world is... Yes, they're governors, planets. Okay? So just imagine, you can become head of a planet and still be an illusion. Imagine. They're very humble, actually. But Prabhupada said they're puffed up. So, Yogeshras.
Devotees.
Mystics. Yeah, they're like siddhas, very similar. Personified Vedas, which energy of the Lord? Goodness, yeah. Knowledge. Vedas. They became gopis. Okay? Yes. Very good. Agni.
Tejas.
Effulgence. Demigods. Limbs of the Lord. Parts of his body. Gandharvas. It's not mentioned here, but just imagine what they are. What energy of the Lord the Gandharvas are. Musical ability, artistry, yes. Vidyadharas. They can remain invisible. Brahmanas. Are the, yes, the Brahmanas.
Sacrifice.
Head of the Lord, okay? Mouth of the Lord also, sometimes it's said. The wives of the sacrificial performers. I would say mercy. They're begging for mercy, and they're on that line. So I want to read something from this magazine on Lord Shiva, something very short, explaining how Shiva is non-different from Vishnu. Here there's another, there's a verse quoted which we will hear later on in the 30th chapter of this canto, where Lord Shiva is described in relationship to Krishna as Priyasya Sakyu, or very dear friend of the Lord. Lord Shiva is a very dear friend of Lord Vishnu. So here is explained that he's a very intimate devotee of Lord Vishnu. And here, because Shiva is very dear and intimate, in that sense he is abhed, non-different from Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, abheda drishtim tat priyatat matva. They are non-different from the Lord because they are very dear to him. So that's another meaning, reason, or angle of how Lord Shiva is non-different from Vishnu. Now, verse 54. You can flip the flip chart over. There's a few things I put on the flip chart, but not everything. So I'll read the verse 54. Chayanam ikabhavanam yona pashati vaipidam sarabhutakmanam vaman sashanti marigachati. The Lord continued, one who does not consider Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva, or the living entities in general, to be separate from the Supreme, and who knows Brahman, actually realizes peace. Others do not. Prabhupada, so what verse, what philosophy does this verse embody? Yes, Sankirtanas. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Bhaktaram Yagachapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Peace formula. Good. What else? What philosophy? What else? Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, two words are very significant in this verse. Trayanam, in the case three, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Vidam means different. They are three, therefore they are separate. But at the same time, they are one. This is the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference called Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. So the practical application of this philosophy, Prabhupada explains in the purport, unity and diversity. In the purport, he will explain. The example given in Brahma Samhita is that milk and yogurt are simultaneously one and different. Both are milk, but the yogurt has become changed. In order to achieve real peace, one should see everything and every living entity, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Every one of us is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This accounts for unity in diversity. There are diverse manifestations, but at the same time, they are one in Vishnu. Everything is an expansion of Vishnu's energy. So this is what this verse is saying. Everyone is the Lord's expansion, therefore, there should be unity in diversity. And there's a really nice verse in Brahma Samhita, which the Lord, which Srila Prabhupada translates in a very interesting way to explain unity and diversity. Which verse? I won't tell you. Which verse in Brahma Samhita explains the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva? What's that? Yeah. Chidam, Lord Shiva's verse. Okay, that's one. Which other one? About Lord Shiva, that's definitely unity and diversity. In fact, all of them, unity and diversity. But there's one that's Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Dvaitam Achyutam Anarim Anantarupam. Not exactly. What's that? Yes, you got it. What's that? In every atom. That also. Yeah, that's the verse before. He's got the one, yes, that's also true. Present every atom at one and the same time. That's the, that's, can't remember that one. Andantarastam. Chayantarastam. So the one that Adi Purusha quoted is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in purport 2.6.22. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhista bhiyameva nicharupataya kalabhi goloka eva nipasatya kilatma bhuto govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. And Prabhupada's translation is really wonderful here. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the one who enlivens the senses of everyone by his personal bodily rays, resides in his transcendental abode called Goloka. So he's there, he's separate, yet he is present in every nook and corner of his creation by expansion of happy spiritual rays. So in every corner of the creation there are Krishna's happy spiritual rays. And I think that's supposed to be us. Right? Chitkana? I like this translation. So that's why I brought it. Equal in power to his personal potency of bliss. Then Prabhupada says, he is therefore simultaneously personal and impersonal by his inconceivable potency. Or, he is the one without a second, displaying complete unity in a diversity of material and spiritual manifestations. He is separate from everything and still nothing is different from him. So here we've got the one is Krishna and the diversity is his material and spiritual worlds. So that's how the diversity is manifest. Unity and diversity. That's 2.6.22. Then there is a verse in 6th Canto, 6.8, 32 to 33, that also expresses this same. I don't know if I didn't include it on the list. That list is incomplete. Anyway, in that verse it says, Supreme Personality of Godhead, living entities, material energy, spiritual energy, entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity in diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, his name, fame, attributes, and forms and weapons in his hand are manifestations of the strength of his potency. So this is, again, another, there's a verse, so many verses actually explaining this philosophy. But then there's a really nice explanation, and I wrote down RTW. It's not up here. I don't remember what RTW stands for. It's one of Prabhupada's small books. I think RTW. Oh, Renunciation Through Wisdom. It's a very beautiful explanation of this whole thing there. I'll just read a section of it. It says, self-realization leads to the understanding that everything is situated in the Supreme Lord. At that time, there is no more illusion or lamentation, and everything is wonderfully harmonized. One sees the whole material universe as a manifestation of unity in diversity. On this platform, everything is full of happiness, knowledge, and eternity. And this is the platform of Brahman realization. And then you see everything is directly linked to Krishna. So then, to see God everywhere and in every living entity is not the final word in self-realization. One needs to see Him in all events, in every activity, in every thought, influencing everyone's life, including one's own. I thought that was quite an interesting explanation here of this. I mean, there's a lot more in there. I'm just skipping over it. If you get a chance, you can read it. Two things are indispensable for acquiring such a vision. First, we must offer the results of all our activities to Lord Krishna. And second, every action we perform must be done exclusively as devotional service to Him. We must constantly meditate on the fact Lord Krishna is the only enjoyer and proprietor of every action. So again, that verse, Bhoktaram Yagitakasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Practical application of these things. So then here I've got LOB 38. Prabhupada says that all energies are emanations from Him and they act differently to prove diversity in unity. The Lord is the unity and the energies are the diversity. So another way of saying what we've already been saying. The Mayavadis, they cannot understand the diversity. They only see the oneness. Yes. 111. Again.
Therefore, the absolute truth is which actually
one
in different. Nothing is absolutely opposed to absolute truth.
Right.
But at the same time, nothing is independent of the absolute truth.
Yes.
So, even though we say Sarvatya Veda Brahma, I mean, we say, sorry, Shakti, Shakti, Madhya, Madhya, energy is equal to the identity. At the same time, the identity is.
Yes, he's more. He's everything. Yes, but not in the sense of quantity. Always, we also have to remember how they are non-different. Not in quantity, but in quality. So that's the importance. Then again, there's this little thing. A letter from Srila Prabhupada to Kirtananda 73. Just one sentence from that letter I'll read. With all the GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. So again, unity in diversity. Yes. Okay, somebody brought this letter to the notice of the GBCs 2 years ago in the meeting.
So now every year it's on the agenda.
Every year it's on the agenda, how to make unity and diversity. So what would we say? How would we make unity and diversity in ISKCON? This is a very good application here. Yes?
Broaden our perspective on things.
Broaden our perspective on things.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah, the ultimate is that it's all Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy, and Krishna is everything.
You can't take a certain angle on philosophical issues as well. That's your perspective, and you think that's the real thing. You cannot see that others talk about the same thing from their angle.
Okay, we don't see different angles of vision. We have to broaden our angles of vision. See things from different... Just like all these prayers are from so many angles of vision here. Seeing the Lord... From so many angles of vision, we couldn't even imagine all these different angles. Yes. Yeah, I know. They weren't against each other. Yeah, I mean, some of them were in Maya. They were saying, "Yes, I'm just covered. I think your form is material." To be more accepting, right. To be more accepting of where the person's conditioning. The conditioning of, Prabhupada did mention that somewhere, that pure devotee doesn't see the conditioning of the persons. Some purport we read today. And he magnifies good qualities. Okay? Yeah. Sankirtan? The issue is always how to serve Krishna. Or how to preach. Yeah, I think Vajrabihari was saying that the difference comes in how to preach. How to preach. Right. But I saw the connection actually between all of them. I saw the unity in all of the prayers personally. So, but even though they were so different, but they're all for the pleasure of the Lord. Ananda Puri, you had something to say. We have to?
Swallow
our views on things. For the sake of community living. Sometimes for the sake of cooperation, we have to forego our own views. Okay? Well, that certainly does happen in the society. How else can we apply this unity? How can... Diversity is no problem, that we got. But the unity part. Diversity, we're all for diversity. Each man for his own. Okay, one more. Emphasizing, yes, we can be unified by glorifying Śrīla Prabhupāda, making him preeminent.
At least we can connect on that one.
We can connect on that. Śrīla Prabhupāda, okay. We agree on that. That he's the preeminent guru. Okay, yes. Okay, maybe you should think about it and then you can tell us when you understand what you want to say. Anybody else? Yes, Sankirtan. Okay, yes, the holy name. Holy name is another way of unity. As we experienced when this devotee was leaving her body, then we all agreed that chanting the holy name was very nice. We all chanted together. We were all chanting and we were happy doing that. And there was no problem with that. Yeah. Yes, everyone agrees chanting the holy name is best thing to do. Yes. Now what does this have to do with unity? First you have to tell me. Okay, I think we better stop here.
By his own life.
Okay, next.
By their own.
Yeah, okay.
This is separation.
Next.
Just notice that when we engage in devotional service, then all our kind of disagreements somehow goes away. When you focus on...
When you focus on service, then...
For example, when you make garden, when you make flower outfits,
So when you do, come together to do service for Krishna, then your disagreements go away. Yes, I think you were emphasizing the difference and not the unity. So we only want to hear about unity here, right, at the moment. We know about the differences. We're very aware of that. We're trying to make... Okay, let's go on in the class, please. Next. Okay, I just want to go on now because it's... Yeah, after. Because I'm running behind now. The sage Maitreya said, verse 55, thus Daksha, the head of all Prajapatis, having been nicely instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worship Lord Vishnu. After worshipping him by performing prescribed sacrificial ceremonies, Daksha separately worship Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So how to worship the demigods? In three words. Because we're running short, I won't read the purport. But, yes, who said that? Adi Purush. How do we worship the demigods as Vaishnavas? We give them Vishnu Prasad. And Prabhupada gives the example of the Jagannath temple in Jagannath Puri, that there are demigods' temples all around it, and they give the Jagannath Prasad to all the demigods. The Vaishnava does not deride even ordinary living entities, including the small ant. Everyone is offered proper respect according to his position. The offering, however, is in relation to the center, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. The devotee who is highly elevated sees the relationship to Krishna in everything. He does not see anything as being independent of Krishna. That is his vision of oneness. So I'll read the rest of verses 56. With all respect, Daksha worshipped Lord Shiva with his share of the remnants of the yajna. After finishing the ritualistic sacrificial activities, he satisfied all the other demigods and the other people assembled there. Then, after finishing all these duties with the priests, he took a bath and was fully satisfied. 57. Thus worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu by the ritualistic performance of sacrifice, Daksha was completely situated on the religious path. Moreover, all the demigods who had assembled at the sacrifice blessed him that he might increase his piety, and then they left. Maitreya said, I have heard that after giving up the body she had received from Daksha, Dakshayani, his daughter, took her birth in the kingdom of the Himalayas. She was born as a daughter of Mena. I heard this from authoritative sources. Ambika, goddess Durga, who was known as Dakshayani, Sati, again accepted Lord Shiva as her husband. Just as different energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act during the course of a new creation. Second half of the purport. Durga is a representation in the material world of both marginal and external energies, and Lord Shiva is a representation of the Supreme Person. The connection of Lord Shiva and Ambika or Durga is eternal. Sati could not accept any husband but Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva remarried Durga as Himavati, the daughter of the Himalayas, how Kartikeya was born, is a great story in itself. And if you want to read the story, it's in Mahabharata. You can look it up. Verse 60, Maitreya said, my dear Vidura, I heard this story of the Daksha Yajna, which was devastated by Lord Shiva from Uddhava, a great devotee and disciple of Brihaspati. 61, I'll read the Sanskrit. Idam pavitram paramishchastitam yashasya ayushyam makaukamarshanam yonittada karnyam naronakirtaye tunotyakam karava bhakti bhakta. The great sage Maitreya concluded, if one hears and again narrates with faith and devotion the story of the Daksha Yajna as it was conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, then certainly one is cleared of all contamination of material existence, O son of Kuru. So again, stressing the results of hearing all the different stories so far is anartha nivritti, removal of sinful reactions. So if we hear with faith and again narrate, you will get this benefit. Only also if you just hear with faith, you will get this benefit of removal of sinful reactions. So now we can stop here and ask for questions. And yes, Madhavan Puripu. Yes, Menaka is an apsara from the heavenly planets. Yeah, she made Vishwamitra fall down. Well, but the apsaras, they are free to have many relationships. So she had a relationship with the king of the Himalayas and also with Vishwamitra. And also, another example is Datapsa Urvashi. She was Indra's favorite, but also she had a relationship with Agnitra later on. And I think next, sixth canto maybe, or fifth canto. I don't remember where that is. Agnitra. So the Apsaras, they have freedom. And that's why when Arjuna went to the heavenly planets and Indra saw Arjuna looking at Urvashi, he thought, Arjuna likes her, so I'll send her to Arjuna. But when she came, then Arjuna was saying, no, no, you're my mother, because you're the mother of the dynasty. She was seeing him, Arjuna was seeing her in a different light, as mother of our dynasty, the other dynasty, or the Kuru dynasty. So he was seeing her like that. But obviously, they have relationships with many people. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so the question is, are the followers of Lord Shiva performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance? Who says yes? And who says no? You say yes. And you say yes. Who says no? No. Two yeses and one no, and two no's and two yeses, and everyone else doesn't know, or they're afraid to raise their hand. So the definition of devotional service in the mode of ignorance separatist, angry, vengeful. So certainly they have those qualities. But to be performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance, there is one other quality that I would say that Daksha has that they don't have, followers of Shiva. No, not quality, but some aspect of their service. That's it. Daksha, his goal is Vishnu, whereas the followers of Shiva, their goal is Shiva. And they're not seeing him as Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. They're not seeing him in connection with Vishnu. They're not seeing him as the topmost Vaishnava. They're just seeing him as Lord of the Bhutas, Bhutanath. So I would say no, they're not doing devotional service in the mode of ignorance because their target is not Vishnu. Daksha's target is Vishnu. Yeah.
It's very much like
the Yamadutas. Right.
Yamaraj.
Yamadutas, example, Yamadutas. Their devotional service to Yamaraj is not... It's not bhakti.
It's just...
It's only applicable to Krishna. Bhaja. Yes. Right. So those who were followers of Lord Shiva, but those followers of Lord Shiva who are not the Bhutas, those who are actually the exalted Vaishnavas, they can be called. Now, of course, we can't say they're devotional service in the mode of ignorance either. The exalted Vaishnavas, their devotional service is transcendental. So, yes, but they don't know. They don't see him as a Mahajan. Of course, they're getting the benefit because he'll preach to them. When they chant the name of Narayan, then he preaches, and then they get the benefit of serving a Mahajan. Of course, they get the benefit anyway. But
Yamaraj
preached to them. Yes.
When they came,
he preached to them, chanting the holy name. Respect the Vaishnavas. Don't do Vaishnavaparad. If someone's chanting and he has neck beads, then don't go near there. So he's preaching. Yes, this is very nice. You've chanted the name of Narayan. Okay. Any other? Yes. Marginal and external. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? External is clear. How is she marginal? Well, we'll have to read Brahma Samhita about that because I'm not clear on that myself. I just know how Lord Shiva is marginal because we read about that, how he has an aspect, adulteration of the marginal potency of non-plenitude. So we would have to read more about her to understand what is the aspect of marginal energy that she, you know? Okay, she's the mother. Okay, yes, that's right. So she has, so Adi Purush brought up how she is related with marginal is that she's the mother. They're all in her womb. Here it says she's a representation of marginal and external energies. Lord Shiva is representation of the Supreme Person. Now she's the mother of all the jivas, and he's the father. Father is the Lord. The Lord is the father. So Lord Shiva represents Krishna as the father of all living entities. And she is the mother. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One. In general, the end in our section here, seven chapters, and then you have to do us, have an assessment.
What's that?
Assessed very quickly after Dhruva.
Yes, after Dhruva there will be an exam on these two sections.
Right, so in light of that, I would like to see or get a little better understanding what you expect from us in this seven chapters here now.
Well, your homework right now, the assessment is the homework questions, and when we I think maybe we'll have a change at the end of the fourth canto. We might apply some of the new interim standards. But as for now, it'll just be as before, the homework questions, the verses. Although for the verses, I think you want some oral presentations, right? And how it's used by Srila Prabhupada and explain the verses more in your oral presentations. But basically, it's the homework questions. For the exams.
to me it appears it's no more a question, so they appear to be more like a reading assignment at this time.
Yes.
Like you go along and you're reading, then you make note, take note of the things, take note of the
right.
And not so much a specific questions to.
Yeah, I'll have to look at them. If they're good, I'll use them, and if they're not, I'll change them. More according to what we're doing in class. Yeah, what's going on? It means you have to be in class. And so if they're good questions, that's what I do. If they're really good questions, or they're applicable, or they're relevant, then I'll use them. Or I may change them to make them relevant or more specific. Or.
So you're saying for these seven chapters, so you still stick to this question?
Yeah. Right, as before. Whichever, if something is a main important theme or a main important idea, then usually I keep it. Sometimes it's too vague, and then I make it more specific application. Sometimes the questions are very broad, so you could answer them in an essay or something. So then I'll just make it more specific like that. So then it'll be obvious what the answer is. Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But don't offend the GBC this time. Okay, well, it's nice if you can. I think I understand what you're trying to say. There is a quote that says, not exactly as you say it, but your love for me will be tested by how you cooperate. Not that Prabhupada's life would not be successful if we didn't cooperate. It's a little bit heavy. We have to exactly say things as Prabhupada said and not change it. Right. So we should always remember that our activities, we should be very, very careful not to offend the Vaishnava. Okay? Unless one soul, so that's a very noble idea. So if you like to take up that mission, you are very welcome to save all the souls of the universe. Vasudeva Dutta had that desire, that if one soul is not saved, I will suffer for all the souls. No.
So,
okay. Any more questions and no more comments? Yes. Yours is a comment. Okay. If it's short, then it's acceptable. Okay.
In verse 43. Prabhupada comments on the word anshamsa.
Angshangsha, verse 43. Yeah, I don't think I did read that.
He says this is a taking of an evidence that Lord Vishnu is Angshangsha.
Oh, yeah.
He's not the supreme.
In this verse, yes. Krishna is supreme. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a very important point. I should have brought that out. Yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and Vishnu is simply a plenary portion of a part of Krishna. He's a kala, angshangsha. Yeah, that's very important because often we lose sight of Krishna. When now Vishnu is here, it's not Krishna. So therefore we forget that he's simply coming from Krishna. Yes?
And a question about the Yajurveda, does anybody know?
Where is this?
It's in verse 41.
41.
Again and again in this section, if they were in the Yajurveda.
Yajurveda. Where is this? Oh, Yajurveda. Five kinds of offerings, according to Yajurveda, are all your different energies. So your question is not what are the five kinds of offerings, but why Yajurveda is being mentioned so many times. You have information, Adi Purush, on that? Verse 41. Yajur B. It's in the Sanskrit. It's not like Prabhupada's. It's actually being stressed.
It's not the first time.
Yeah. So what is the Yajur Veda famous for? What is it? What's going on? Sri Shopanishad is from Yajur Veda.
Prabhupada makes a statement that because this show is from Yajur Veda, it's about the proprietorship of the Lord. So I'm wondering,
what do we know about Yajurveda?
For sacrifice.
For sacrifice. Okay, it's the biggest. Is it Ayurveda? Is it a? No.
Biggest theology.
Is it? Yes. It's Ayurveda. No. Ayurveda is... Yajur. It's not from Ayurveda.
No, okay.
Rig is Ayurveda. Okay. Yajurveda is the biggest, and that's all we know. Scholars of the Vedas.
Well, some do specifically just chant sacrifice.
That's Samaveda.
Samaveda is chant, the chant, mantras. Songs. Okay, so you have to, if anybody...
Yeah, I think that was, as far as I recollect, has the most elaborate descriptions of the sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Okay, Yajurveda has elaborate descriptions of the sacrifices.
Whereas others more hints or protective measures.
Okay, the other ones are not so directly involved with the sacrifices. Yajurveda is directly involved with, more with sacrifices. And this is what's happening here. It's a sacrifice. So therefore, Yajurveda is mentioned. Only when Garuda was flapping his wings somewhere, when the Lord appeared, then that's the Samaveda. Any other questions? Yes? Can we have the class at 9:30? Who? What? No, I don't know if it'll help. 9:30. It's hard to get here at 9:15. Okay, so shall we have a vote? This is the latest that we're going to go. But when Virajan starts, it may be, who knows, 11:30.
Afternoon.
So we're going to put the, we're going to change with the Bhakti Shastri, are we? Well... Okay, a big change after in August, middle of August. We'll have a big change afternoon. Okay, so who votes for 9:30? 1, 2, 3, 4. We only get one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who votes for 9:15? 1, 2. This looks like 9:30 wins. So that means everybody's day is later. Now, your group work will start at 11:45, right? Well, you'll be having it soon. Or you could do it before, because it's so late, you can have your group work at 8:15? Yeah, you need a break. 8:15 to 9:15, you could have your group work, of course, that's during Bhagavatam class, but it's not a problem. You can have your group work at 8:15 if you wanted. So it could make things easier. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.